In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
This is the place where we proclaim good news. In this time together, we don't only hear out loud the hope of the living God, but we enact hope by flying in the face of death and by proclaiming the hope of the resurrection. When we stand and move forward and come before God to receive Christ's body and blood. This is the place where we proclaim good news. And do not fear, today you will experience good news. But we need to get the good news from where we stand, beyond what we've carried with us into this place today. And it seems that everywhere around us, bad news is ubiquitous. Food shortages and mass world hunger, with even more hunger and mass migration projected due to the past several years' change in agricultural growth patterns worldwide. This week I came 30 minutes later than usual to pick up my children on Wednesday. And my oldest fretted when I picked her up. "Mom, I was worried you were here later than usual." She hugged me tighter than she normally does. And on that same day, over 600 children in Mississippi came home to no one to care for them. Toddlers were left in daycare centers. The plan to sweep away their parents from places where they'd gone to work for the day was intentional, textbook. But because of the nature of the plan, there could not be and there was not a plan for how to safely feed and house the children left behind that night. How many places did you frequent this week where you looked around to see where the exits were? I was gathered at a community barbecue with about 90 people in a park filled with children. And as the children laughed and played and neighbors chatted and relaxed after work, I found myself figuring out a plan. How would I scoop up my children and run away in the face of a fired shot? If it could happen at a bar, a Walmart, or a garlic festival, why not here? The bad news can seem impossible to escape as we make our way through our days. And many of us sometimes prefer just to stay at home. But even in our own homes, we hear bad news proclaimed from our smartphone notifications, texts crawling at the bottom of television screens, shouted out by pundits on cable news, talking over each other as they seek solutions. If we were not afraid before, this week the news, especially as it is proclaimed all around us, certainly urges us to be afraid now. But my friends, this is the place where we proclaim good news. And in today's gospel, Jesus proclaims some powerful good news. His first words, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." It echoes the words God spoke to Abraham, "Do not be afraid. Though you remain childless now, you shall have descendants as numerous as the stars." This is not, as New Testament professor Audrey West writes, whistling in the dark comfort, but rather this is the assurance that what is seen is not all that is. A reminder that the fears attendant upon earthly living need not have the last word in defining one's own life. What is seen is not all there is. Jesus then calls us, calls the disciples, be ready, be alert. The Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. What we've heard today is an apocalyptic passage in Holy Scripture. And in just hearing that word, apocalyptic, we often assume the worst. But for what is Jesus telling us to be alert? Look at that gospel again. For what is Jesus telling us to be alert? Blessed are those who are waiting. He will come and serve them. Jesus is asking us to be prepared, not for destruction, but for blessing. Jesus is talking to us about tapping into what cannot be seen. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes and no moth destroys. This is the promise of a God who is above all and in all things, a God whose sovereign power gives us a hope of protection, and the promise of God's return, God's blessing upon this fallen and sinful world. And our preparation for blessing, it happens when we discard our ways and our possessions that limit our understanding. When we prepare ourselves for blessing, it serves as an antidote to human problems of misplaced confidence, complacency, and fear of an uncertain future. Audrey West continues to comment, the consistent message throughout this passage is not be ready so that you will avoid punishment, but rather be ready so that you will receive blessing. In theological terms, God's providence enables a response that runs counter to the human propensity to be afraid. A response that challenges the tendency to hold on to what one has in order to protect against what might happen. Sell your possessions and give alms, Jesus says, calling on his followers to place their confidence in the imperishable treasures of heaven rather than in the moth-eaten things of their own backyard. This passage challenges us with a simple test. Do we want to live lives of taking, or do we want to live lives of giving? The answer we give reveals the truth of our hearts and opens us or closes us to the blessings that God is prepared to give. There's a posture that a priest takes every week at the altar. It's called the orans position. Orans in medieval Latin means prayer or pleading. The prayer position, the pleading position. It's a posture that's meant to invoke Jesus' self-giving, offering, opening up, and giving away. It's both the most vulnerable posture and the most freeing posture. It's a position that prepares us for receiving blessing. And we're meant to practice it not just every week during communion, but in all of life, so we can be prepared to receive the kingdom of heaven. The opposite posture, the one toward which the bad news of our culture drives us, closing in, taking, hoarding, self-preservation. Yes, this position feels, and perhaps is, safer on human terms. But this posture leaves us unprepared and with no space to receive the treasures of God's kingdom. It leaves us closed in on ourselves. That park I was in last Thursday, the one where I was looking for the exits, it's called Fergus Park. It's in the North Side neighborhood where I live with my family. I experience it as a vibrant, beautiful park, surrounded by well-kept homes. Happy families are always there. The grill-outs have been going on for years in the summer. There's an organization called Happen in the neighborhood who started the grill-outs 9 years ago, when the outlook of the park was not so bright. There's a man behind these cookouts named Tommy, who has faithfully organized them each year in an Oron's position of sorts, a position of offering, of openness, of self-giving, of vulnerability. Everyone in the community is invited to eat at no cost. He reflected on Thursday night's gathering and shared the history of these grill outs. He writes, 9 years ago, we had to carry our tents, supplies, food, and the grill around drug dealers who would literally stand in our way to intimidate our staff and volunteers. It was only 6 years ago that a man stood at the intersection and fired shots into the pavement. Bullets ricocheted. Kids scattered, running home, and police blocked off the street. And there we were in an empty park, standing behind what else but the grill. He reflects, tonight I saw over 90 people of every demographic come together to eat, relax, and interact with their neighbors. From my point of view, behind the grill, it was a sight that most neighbors could only wish for and most neighborhoods will never enjoy. He says, and tonight I was proud that Happen played a small role in making Fergus Park what it is today. Thank you to all the neighbors who never gave up, to all the community leaders who stood up for safety, and to every city official who voted to support our park. Thank you to the committees, patrols, and law enforcement officers who did everything they could to make Fergus Park safe. Thank you to Cincinnati Recreation for stepping up when asked, and for 250 volunteers in an organization called Kaboom, who made Fergus Park a place to play again. Community is not just where you live, it's how you live with other people. Do not be afraid, little flock. What is seen is not all there is. When we live lives of giving, it is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. This is the good news. Amen.